Back here with Jerry Sandusky. The book is called Forgotten Sundays, A Sun Story of Love, Loss, and Life from the Sidelines of the NFL. And Jerry, coming up, you have a couple of book signings in town. May 24, Greetings and Readings in Hunt Valley. June 14th at Breathe Books down the road here on the Avenue in Hamden from 1 to 4. Book is available right now on Amazon and bookstores tomorrow.
Bookstores and ebooks, Kindle, Nook, iPad, that all comes out tomorrow. But you can get it on Amazon right now. Just go to Amazon and put in Forgotten Sundays and it'll show right up.
I want to talk about just the sidelines of the NFL. I've had the opportunity to be on a few. It's an incredible place to be during practice, whatever. And it's a can be a very vulgar place, a very intense place. You're a young guy, really a child, going onto a sideline with your dad. Did he give you any pep talk about what you might hear on the NFL sideline?
You know, it all happened very quick. First, it happened in training camp when he was with Philadelphia. One of his star players, Jerry Sizemore, the left tackle, missed a block, and I was a ball boy working with the offensive line, and Sizemore drops the F-bomb right in front of me. I mean, like, right in front of me. And then, respectfully, he does a double take, and he looks to my dad. He said, "Coach, sorry about that." And my dad, you know, nonplussed. He's like, "That's fine. This is the language." He's got to get used to that, pointing to me. And then my father, like, stared at me a little harder and said, "And we don't use that language around Mom." And that was the only discussion we ever had on it. But there's a section in the book where I talk about how the use of the F word in the NFL has unwritten rules. And you learn them being a ball boy, being on the sidelines, watching how it all plays. And like everything else in the league, there are rules. Some are written, some are unwritten. These are unwritten, but there are rules.
Seeing your dad coach and be in his element, was it similar to being a father in any way? Are there things that kind of run parallel there, or is it a totally different universe? This is his work life, this is home life.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it was, is that being able to be near my father when he was coaching, especially in training camp and in games, I got something most people never get a chance to experience, and that was experiencing my father at his point of total joy and happiness, his complete happy place at work. Look, coaching is hard work, but coaches love training camp because they are with their players, they're teaching, they're building this team, and they're just consumed and they're immersed in the thing they love. Game day they love. So I got to be with my dad for many years in those environments, and I got to see him with all of the worries of the mortgage, the yard, the kids, the neighbors, removed for 3 hours. And it was a magnificent experience to see my father at this elevated state of joy and happiness and connection. And I can say I never actually saw him like that when he was paying the bills. I never saw him like that when we were doing house projects or cutting the yard. But I saw him like that all the time in football. And I've always considered it a great gift that I had the chance to experience that.
Your father got sick around 2001. Was he a fan of the league before then, the modern-day version of it?
Oh, yeah. He loved the league till the day he died. The only thing he didn't love about the league was the salary cap. And the reason he didn't like that was near the end of his career, they had to make roster decisions on the back end of the roster based on salary cap decisions instead of, hey, we're going to keep this guy because we need a veteran backup guard. They had to keep the rookie free agent because they couldn't afford the veteran backup guard. And he saw that the salary cap removed some of the merit from the league. Guys who belonged were knocked out. Guys who didn't belong maybe were put in to squeeze under the cap. That was the only thing he didn't like about the league at the end of it. But up until, you know, Alzheimer's claimed his memories, he followed it. We talked about it at great length. It was his passion until he died.
You mentioned your father's illness for the last 5 years of his life. It's not linked with maybe concussions like an ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease is, but has that crept into your mind at all?
I don't think there's any doubt that you have to use some common sense and connect some of the dots. But I think we're being a little simplistic in saying concussions cause Alzheimer's. And I think we're being unfair to our medical community to ask them and them alone to solve this horrific riddle that is Alzheimer's. And what I mean by that is, in writing this book, as I tried to craft this book, I found the book actually crafted a lot of my thinking, especially along the lines of Alzheimer's. People are three parts, mind, body, and soul. And by soul, I don't mean religion. I'm not here to discuss anybody's religion. I'm not talking about God punishing anybody. I'm just talking about your connection to a higher being as well as your connection to a sense of purpose. My father was 70 when he retired from the NFL. He immediately started to help out coaching a high school team in South Florida. And he did that for 5 years until there was an accident on the sideline. A player ran up on his leg, gouged his leg, got a deep cut that got infected, and the doctor panicked. The doctor said, John, I don't think you can get out of the way of these guys. You can't coach anymore. Well, without knowing it, the doctor essentially gave him a death sentence because he removed my father from what had always been his highest self, his sense of connection, coaching, being around young football players. It's what he loved to do, teach young men how to be better players and better men. So removed from that, it was a matter of months before he started to show what in hindsight were clearly the markers of Alzheimer's. As time has evolved, and I've talked to more people who've been a caretaker, a loved one, a relative of an Alzheimer's patient, there is frequently a disruptive element that separates them from their sense of purpose, their sense of identity and self. And to me, it seems that if you take one of the three parts that comprise a human and you sever that, is it any wonder that the symptoms of Alzheimer's would manifest themselves in one of the other two parts?
Really fascinating stuff. And the book, I think it's a winner, to say the least. It's a family story. There's a huge Baltimore component, obviously, in it. And it has a lot to do with the voice of the Baltimore Ravens.
And I want to put forth one thing. I am not an expert on Alzheimer's. I am going to be talking on Friday at the Alzheimer's Association of Maryland's annual conference at the Sheraton in Towson. It's at 9:15 in the morning, and you're welcome to come. It's open to the public, and we'd love you to be there. One of my motivations with this book and with this talk that I'll do on Friday is not to tell anybody what Alzheimer's should be done, what path we should follow. It's merely to expand the conversation about a problem that we haven't figured out the solution to yet. And I want to emphasize yet.
You know, if you've dealt with it as closely as you have, if we had more time, I'd want to delve into this, but unfortunately we're out of it. But just being the son of someone you're that close to, like your father, and seeing them go through something like that, and someone you write about so glowingly in this book, and then have it be reduced to that at the end. But I'll have to save that for another conversation.
If you can, I'll summarize it real quickly for you. In the last cogent conversation I had with my father, when he had this tiny window of clarity, he looked at me and he said, live your life now.
Powerful stuff. The book is called Forgotten Sundays, A Son's Story of Love, Loss, and Life from the Sidelines of the NFL, available anywhere you can think as of tomorrow. Jerry, thank you so much.
You got it, pal. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. The book is great. That's Jerry Sandusky. We'll come back with more next.